Morning. The reading today is from Luke chapter 16, starting at verse 16. The law and the prophets were proclaimed until John. Since that time, the good news of the kingdom of God is being preached, and everyone is forcing his way into it. It's easier for heaven and earth to disappear than from the least stroke of a pen to drop out of the law. Anyone who divorces his wife and marries another woman commits adultery, and the man who marries a divorced woman commits adultery. There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and lived in luxury every day. At his gate was laid a beggar named Lazarus, covered with sores and longing to eat what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs came and licked his sores. The time came when the beggar died, and the angels carried him to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried. In hell, where he was in torment, he looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. So he called to him, "Father Abraham, have pity on me and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, because I am in agony in this fire." But Abraham replied, "Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, while Lazarus received bad things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in agony. And besides all this, between us and you is a great chasm that has been fixed, so that those who want to go from here to you cannot, nor can anyone cross over from there to us." He answered, "Then I beg you, Father, send Lazarus to my father's house, for I have five brothers. Let him warn them so that they will not also come to this place of torment." Abraham replied, "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them." "No, Father Abraham," he said, "but if someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent." He said to him, "If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead." This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning. Good morning, church family. Can I firstly say that this passage has been particularly challenging. Having family members and friends that have passed away and were not believers in Jesus, the verses today are honestly quite sad. Sometimes we don't like to hear gospel truths or truths that make us happy, sad, or even offend. If you've got one of those Bibles where the text is read when Jesus speaks, this passage this morning is all in red. Jesus is speaking to the Pharisees and the religious leaders, and they were offended. But it was said in love. Jesus loved the Pharisees, and he loves us, and speaks the truth to us this morning. So, if you are offended this morning, I will make no apology, because it's said in love. Gracious Father, thank you for your living word. Thank you that your word is truth. Thank you that your word transforms. Help us this morning as we wrestle with your word. And we pray this morning that we would leave this place different than when we arrived. Amen. We start this morning and for the next 5 weeks in the Gospel of Luke. Jesus and his disciples are on their way to Jerusalem, and Jesus is preaching and teaching and sharing and preparing his boys for ministry as he walks to Jerusalem. Ultimately, Jesus is travelling to Jerusalem to be betrayed, to be put on a cross, to die for our sins, and then rose from the dead to be our Saviour. As he journeys with his disciples, he's also having the occasional discussion with the religious leaders, the Pharisees, along the way, as they try to test and trick Jesus. So before we dive in this morning to these verses, we need to go back a few to understand the context of the previous teachings and how it segues into this morning's verses. Jesus has already spoken on the teaching of the parable of the shrewd manager, which ends in verse 13. No one can serve two masters. Either way, either you will hate one or love the other, or you will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Luke records that the Pharisees loved money, and they were sneering at Jesus. The Message Bible version says they rolled their eyes, dismissing him as hopelessly out of touch. Verse 15 also tees us up nicely into this morning's readings. Jesus says to them, "You are the ones who justify yourself in the eyes of others. But God knows your heart. What people value highly is detestable by God." Luke records the Pharisees loved money. And this was their faith theology, as it was a popular belief by the Pharisees that you were blessed by God if you had money. If you had money and were popular and respected, this was proof that God was blessing you in your life. The more money you had, the more you were being blessed. Jesus loved the religious leaders, but he saw in their hearts that they were sinners and wanted to save them from their wrongdoings and misunderstandings of the law. So he gives them some practical advice, even though they mocked him. The additional teaching is picked up in between these two parables. The Pharisees were disillusioned and assumed that God blessed them because they had money and status. Verse 16. The law of the prophets proclaimed until John. Since that time, the good news of the kingdom of God is preached, and everyone is forcing their way into it. Jesus says to the religious leaders that from the beginning of the time, and the prophets and the law have been proclaimed to reveal God's standard to us, God's perfect perfection. But we're not perfect and we can't follow God's laws. But we can recognise that we fall short. And that's why we confess our sins. As we say in thought and word and deed, we confess. Instead trying to explain it away with gospel passages. Trying to explain it away when they challenge us. Saying things like, "It's okay, we don't worry about that bit, we ignore those bits over here, it's cultural, it's not relevant, it's fine, my personality is different, that's a bit outdated, it's different back then." However, it's not just now we hear those excuses, it was back then with the Pharisees as well, who were also adding to the laws of the law of Moses. Jesus tells us it is easier for heaven and earth to disappear than for the stroke of the pen to drop out of the law. Jesus speaks directly to the Pharisees who thought they were better than everyone else. They justified themselves before man, not God. They disregarded the law by their oral traditions, their extra bits that they added. Jesus gives them an example in the area of their lives, which was a glaring way in which they disregarded the law. Jesus exposes their sin because he loves them, although they constantly argued with Jesus and sneered and mocked him, because he loved them. Verse 18. Anyone who divorces his wife and marries another woman commits adultery, and the man who marries and divorces a woman commits adultery. The religious leaders were very rich and popular. And to achieve this wealth, it was widely known that they would grant divorces without religious grounds, having added additional laws and interpretations to make it easy to get divorced. Making additional laws saying that it was acceptable to divorce your wife if she disgraced you, open to wide interpretation. Or perhaps they would say, come and tell us that you're unhappy. Write us a large check for our ministry and we will find a loophole in the law. What people valued highly is detestable in God's sight. Luke records the sneering of the Pharisees all the way through Luke's gospel. We can see the religious leaders picking on Jesus' ministry. But Jesus points out one primary thing they've ignored, and that they were actually misleading people into sin. And that thing was the sanctity of marriage and their willingness to ignore the law of the prophets to accommodate the wishes and the whims of wealthy men. What people valued highly is detestable in God's sight. And Jesus continues to press into the religious leaders, perhaps now listening to him. Jesus focuses on the consequences of not following the law and not being a follower of Jesus. The rich man and Lazarus, verse 19. Jesus reveals to us a life and death, an eternal life of two men. We hear of two lives, two deaths, and two thereafters. Now, we don't normally see a named person in Jesus' parables. This is the only time. One commentary said that this may not be a parable at all, but a true account of an actual event. We normally see Jesus say this is a parable, or we see this is a parable of Jesus, the parable of the lost coin or the parable of the lost sheep. But here we see Jesus name somebody, a man named Lazarus. This is not Mary and Martha's Lazarus, as it was a common name. So it is thought that this could be a true account, perhaps to engage the Pharisees to change their ways. Firstly, two lives. Verse 19. There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and lived in luxury every day. Firstly, the rich man, not named. We don't know who he was. But the purple clothing was a sign of high importance. A king, a prince, a governor that lived in luxury every day. An interesting fun fact for you. To produce the colour purple is a very complicated process. that involves snail shells being finely ground to produce a type of dye for the coloured garments. So the Pharisees would have been immediately have associated this rich man as blessed by God and important just by saying the words, a rich man dressed in purple. Verse 20, at his gate laid a beggar named Lazarus, covered in sores and longing to eat what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs came and licked his sores. So Lazarus, named, lying in the entrance of the rich man's property, he's probably been lying there for a while as his sores, maybe bed sores, perhaps as he was been lying in the same place for a long time, hungry for food. Even food dropped from the table. The Pharisees would have seen this man, Lazarus, as cursed by God because of his status. Then we read, verse 22. The time came when the beggar died and the angels carried him to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried. So Jesus tells us of two deaths. Firstly, the beggar's death, most likely not a noteworthy death. Most likely no funeral, no one came to mourn him. But we weren't told that he was buried. However, the angels carried him away to Abraham's side. Now we're told about the rich man died and was buried. Now this was no doubt a noteworthy death, one of an occasion, a lavish funeral procession perhaps, a ceremony, as the rich man would have had many friends and many servants. It would have been a special time, something to remember, probably the place to be seen. Now we hear of the two truths of the thereafters. Jesus tells us about the rich man. In Hades, he was in torment. He looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. So he called to him, Father Abraham, have pity on me and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water to cool my tongue, because I am in agony in this fire. But Abraham said, Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things while Lazarus received bad things. And now he is comforted here and you are in agony. And besides all this, between us is a great chasm has been set in place so that those who want to go from here to you cannot, nor cannot anyone cross over from there to us. So the big question on everyone's lips, what happens when you die? Earlier noted in these verses that actually this may be a true account that Jesus gives us as he tells us the truth. Jesus speaks about the rich man that is in torment. He is in agony in this fire. Contrasting, we see Lazarus being comforted by Father Abraham. He speaks of the chasm that can't be crossed. Once you're there, there's no changing sides. So what do we do? As we hear the truth from Jesus this morning. But first, let's look at some lies. Some alternative options that the world would have us believe and believe their lies. Option one, the naturalist. The naturalist would say that there's no soul. We are just a body and there's no existence after death. That's all there is. When it's done, and there's nothing else. That's not true. Option two, the universalist. The universalist would say that everyone goes to heaven. All roads lead to God. And there's no such thing as hell. It's not true. Option three, reincarnation. The reincarnationist would say that you live multiple times, dying and returning, dying and returning, dying and returning, until you've paid your debt to the universe. Whatever that is. But it's not true. Option four, soul sleeping. This is a time for waiting for Christ's second coming, a kind of massive waiting room. If nothing else, the verses today explain why this is not true. Lazarus went straight to Abraham's side. Option five, purgatory. This is a teaching that says that when you die, you suffer for a while. And then when you find salvation, you can go to heaven and be with Jesus. But it's not true either. What did Jesus tell us? There's a chasm that can't be crossed. So it's not true either. Lastly, option six. What does the Bible say? Not what clever people say. Not what the scholars say that are highly educated beyond their means. Or people, what do people say that quote scripture out of context? Much better than that, what does Jesus say? Jesus speaks of hell and judgment more times than anyone else in the Bible. Looking at what Jesus says about what happens when we die. We're all going to die, but we need to make the decision where we're going to go. Because no one else can make that decision for us. I read that a man's life consists of 20 years of his mother saying, "Where are you going?" 50 years of his wife saying, "Where have you been?" And 1 hour when people at his funeral are wondering, "Where's he gone?" So if you've ever wondered what happens after you die, go to the source. Go to Jesus. Jesus is the one that's been there. He's the one that's lived, the one that's died, the one that's risen, and the one that's in heaven. Go to the source. The verses this morning that Jesus is speaking to us. This is there to get us, to get our attention, as the Bible is good and we are bad. We need a saviour, and the gospel points to the fact, to that fact, that we need a saviour, and Jesus invites us into a life that we're supposed to have, and this is good news. The alternative, as we read this morning, is upsetting. For us whose loved ones didn't know Jesus. And I've journeyed through this for a few weeks, and I know that my children know of Jesus, but don't know, love and trust him. I need to pick my moments carefully and never give up praying. Why would you listen to anybody else? Why listen to stories and made-up facts designed to make us happy? The rich man that represents the Pharisees, the rich man who thought he was blessed but was cursed. There's no indication that a rich man did anything wrong. However, he clearly didn't believe. The one who was considered blessed finds himself in hell. I read a story of a man who was in a car accident, and as he braked hard to avoid another car, swerved and eventually crashed into a petrol station forecourt totem pole sign. The jarring of the accident shook the S off of the Shell garage sign, and the S fell to the ground. When he came to and pushed the airbag out of the way, he looked out of the window and saw the sign, "Hell open 24/7. Hell is real and is open 24/7. To be saved, we need to go to the source, Jesus. Verse 27, Jesus tells us that the rich man answered Abraham. He answered, "I beg you, Father, send Lazarus to my family, for I have five brothers. Let him warn them, so that we will not also come to this place of torment." Abraham replied, "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them." "No, Father Abraham," he said, "but if someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent." He said to him, "If they don't listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be convinced, even if somebody rises from the dead. They will not be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead." How many times have we heard that? "If you could just show me, I'll believe." You can imagine the Pharisees listening intently to Jesus, realizing that the rich man was them, that they were listening to Jesus, telling them what happens if they don't change and believe. They had Moses and the prophet, and now they had Jesus. Do you think they would have listened if God had come down in a human form, which was happening? Would that they would believe then? No, they would argue and sneer. Verse 31 again. "They will not be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead." When Jesus does return and did rise from the dead, I wonder if they listened then. They just didn't believe. There is life after death. These verses clearly state that. Where will you spend eternity? Have you decided? Jesus died for our sins to open heaven's door wide for us all. And we heard that a few weeks ago, didn't we, in Revelation 4, as we looked at the throne room of heaven. Revelation 4, verse 1. "After this I looked, and there before me was a door standing open in heaven." That's the offer. The doors are open wide for all those that know Jesus and confess that Jesus is Lord. If you don't know Jesus this morning, I encourage you to get right with him, to listen to what he's got to say into your lives, so that when the day comes, when your appointment arrives, as it will for all of us, so that when it's our time to die, there will be no doubt from anyone, no doubt at all. They will know exactly where you've gone, and that place is heaven. Let's pray. Gracious Father, thank you for these challenging words this morning. We give you thanks that your Son, our Saviour, opened the doors of heaven wide so that none will perish if they choose you. We pray that those who are in doubt this morning, choose you. Amen. 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 So now we're going to stand and sing a song, Over All the Earth, which has two great lines that you can use as a personal response to Jesus, our King and Saviour. Those lines are, "You are the Lord of all I am, and you mean more to me than any earthly thing." Watch out for those lines. Shout them loud, or whisper them silently in your heart. Either way, to respond this morning, to choose Jesus as he reigns in your life. Let's stand and worship together.